Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. This is the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and I have a great show in store for you today. We have Dr. Bob Weil, actually known as the sports doctor, on our show today, and we're going to be talking a little bit about, sports and injuries and things of that nature that may be pertaining to some of the sports that you guys try to do as you go out and be weekend warriors. So stay tuned. We're going to get started with that very shortly. But first of all, I want to thank the show sponsor, the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company. And as you are probably, if you've been listening to the show for a little while, you know that the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company is a company that is focused on bringing you optimal health and well-being in a holistic and natural path. And what they believe is that a balanced mind, body, and spirit is key to optimal health and well-being. They know this because it's been studied for thousands and thousands of years, and the proof is in the pudding. Now, what they do is they utilize the principles of Ayurveda to help you to have a unique wellness experience that actually leads you successfully to the goals that you want to accomplish with your health and well-being versus the goals that you think you want to accomplish or that you've tried to accomplish in the past and fail. They actually successfully lead you to obtain those goals with regarding your health and well-being. And what they have to offer you are assistance with, sleep challenges, fatigue, energy, vitality, brain fog, managing your medical conditions in a holistic and natural way. If you're looking for more of that, if you're looking to recapture the vitality that you had in your 20s and now you're in your 40s and you wonder where that went, you may want to give them a call. So please check them out. They offer wellness luxury retreats, wellness VIP luxury days. That sounds very yummy. Customized luxurious body therapies, customized wellness plans of care, again, designed to lead you, the unique individual, to successfully obtain your health and wellness goals. So check them out at healthhealingwellness.com. Again, that's healthhealingwellness.com. The other sponsor of today's show is a telecommunications company that's been around for over 26 years. They specialize in helping small to large corporations have telecommunications, the backbone of how we communicate today, operate absolutely phenomenally, and they say they make the corrections for you the first time. So if you have a telecommunications need, whether you need voice, data, fiber optic, wireless cabling installed in your place of business so that you can be global and stay on top of what's happening in that arena, you definitely want to check out All Day Inc. That's alldaycableinc.com. And lastly, before we get in today's show, a recommended book that I have that I want to share with you is from Courtney Odmundson, and it's called Teachings from God. Excuse me. Greeting Your Soul and Revealing the Divine Within You. So, excuse me. So if you're looking for a great book to encompass your connection with the divine, then, excuse me, you guys, I highly suggest that you connect and reach out and check out Courtney Amundsen's book, Teachings from God. You can click the link on the webpage, and it'll get you directly to the site where you can purchase the book or learn a little bit more about the book. And now, without further delay, let's get into today's show. Let me tell you a little bit about the guest. He's known as the Sports Doctor, and he is the host of a Sports Doctor Radio. He was formerly on WDCB in Chicago for more than 20 years. He has also published articles in many newspaper columns, including the Aurora Beacon News and the Naperville Sun. And he has worked with both amateur and professional athletes in the arena of sports. His discipline with regards to medicine is podiatry, specifically sports podiatry. He's a sports podiatrist. And so some of his people that he's worked with include Evan Lysak, a winner of the Olympic gold medal for figure skating in 2010's National Pairs competition, acclaimed UCLA player Liz Lumpkin, former Chicago Bears quarterback Jim McMahon, as well as Richard Dent. He is also one of my favorite players today. Work with Joaquin Noah's dad, tennis great, and former French Open champion. He's worked with players from the Chicago Cubs, White Sox, and Chicago Blackhawks, just to name a few. So without, again, delay, I want to bring to you Dr. Bob Weil, known as the Sports Doctor. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Rochelle. The Sports Doctor's in. Nice to be with you. I'm a big fan of all of the holistic side of things, whether it's in sports medicine or health and wellness, Rochelle. I'll tell you, you know, whether it's massage therapy, whether it is visualization, whether it's the whole mental side of things, which sounds like one of the big themes of your show. So great stuff.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And I was myself a former, I don't know what's going on with my voice today, but I was myself a former track and field athlete from the age of 10 through college, running events, the 400 meters and the 200 meters. So
yeah, how were your feet and legs and knees with all that running?
Today?
No, how'd you do then?
They were great when I did
good.
It again because, you know, I was young and vibrant and, you know, a little bump or bruise didn't slow
me down.
But
it's one of the topics we talk about a lot, Rochelle, which is the high-performance youngster. Talk a lot about that on the Sports Doctor because of the tendency, the epidemic of overuse injuries, the pressure on some of these kids. So, and again, early concentration. Did you play any other sports? Hey, I forgot. I'm interviewing you. doing you a favor because I know you can't talk. Are you drinking some water over there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Ah, you sounded better. Yeah, you sounded better. So
the energy of you just got me all choked up. But
I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, I did do other sports, but I really excelled at track and field at a very young age. And I tell this story, and I'm not going to share it on today's show, but I had an encounter with a person who's been in the limelight quite a bit over the last couple years. And this person was very instrumental in helping me overcome the dilemma of not wanting to run the 400 meters at 9 and 10 years old. This person was very instrumental. He was very supportive.
400 meters is one of the most challenging events in all of sports. It's like a quarter-mile sprint. And it's an ultimate type of event. So it's grueling.
Yeah, it is. And this individual, I mean, it's a very famous person, literally encouraged me for 6 months. And I didn't even know who this person was until I saw the Olympics and realized, oh, my God, that's the person that's been out there encouraging me and, you know, giving me a hug when I needed a hug and had nothing to do. He wasn't my coach or anything. He was just out there training himself. So it's pretty cool. But I'll share that story on another segment of Blissful Living. So let's get into you, and can you give the listeners a little bit of background as to, you know, they may have not even heard that what a podiatrist is, or
exactly.
If you've never had it for a podiatrist.
I would tell you, yes, I would tell you, Rochelle, if you sing the song, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone's connected to the knee bone, then you'll know where a lot of it is at in sports medicine. Your feet affect everything else, and we're talking about whether it's everyday walkers or golfers or people who are serious athletes. Many times we see, for example, some people have flat feet, some people have high arches, some people might be bow-legged, some others might be knock-kneed. All can affect our back, our hips, our knees. So those kinds of facts are important whether you're a recreational athlete or whether you have a son or daughter who is serious, because the goal of all of us is to prevent problems. And, you know, if you're an elite athlete, we're interested in enhancing performance, but for the most part, we're looking to prevent problems. So as a sports podiatrist,
why would someone go see a podiatrist?
Well, number one, foot problems themselves are very common. One of the most common problems is called plantar fasciitis. It's the arch in the heel, and it's probably the people who are active, very common. Probably 50% of the population, Rochelle, has some kind of foot a problem eventually. If you start running and jumping, those percentages go up. Now, again, there are problems like bunions and hammer toes and corns and calluses that podiatry, ingrown toenails, that podiatry has been taken care of for, 100 years, where people, your grandmother might be coming to the office, she might have her calluses, which are hurting her, trimmed down, and she comes walking out dancing. That's it's a big deal. My specialty, which is called biomechanics, is the use of prescription inserts, whether it's in your track shoes, whether it's in a figure skater's skates, whether it's in Uncle Tom's walking shoes, that are designed to enhance the joint position, reduce stress. So problems on the ball of the foot, problems with other, that's who would go to podiatry. But also if you're looking to say, now, what's the best shoe for my daughter? You know, she's tennis or she's in track or whatever, or she's had a problem. And podiatry can really steer you in the right direction. A lot of foot mechanic types are inherited. The term bunion is not a medical term, Rochelle, but most people know bunions, the enlarged big toe joint, that bump on the side, which is actually a dislocation of the toe, and it's inherited. So many times we'll see in my surgical career that we did bunion surgery on grandma who was 70, we did bunion surgery on her daughter who was 45, and we're seeing bunions in her 12-year-old. So we would
So explain to the listeners, because I know me being a healthcare professional myself, and I know there are a lot of people that think that they have bunions when they're really calluses or, things
like
that.
Well, again, it's the definition. The bunion really means the enlarged big toe joint. Calluses are hard skin buildup, sometimes specific in location, sometimes under a specific bone. It might be under your little toe on the ball of the foot. It might be in the middle of the foot, those types of calluses. One of my most popular articles, Rochelle, and people can go to my website, it's written out, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can listen to a lot of my past shows. You could read all the different articles. One of the most popular is called Women and High Heels, Surviving the Challenge.
Let me ask you a question. I want to go back to the calluses,
okay,
because I know I've dwelled around the basketball athletes for quite a long time. My husband.
I might have lost you. Yeah, I can't hear you. Yeah, I'm not hearing you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, you're back.
With regard to just athletes, I noticed that typically in the basketball arena, the guys or gals will tend to develop calluses at the ball of, on the ball of the foot. Can you explain to the listeners why that might be occurring and why is it so prevalent in athletes, particularly basketball players?
Well, if you're talking sports like side-to-side sports, basketball, tennis, then you're going to put all sorts of pressure on the ball of the foot. And you're certainly going to build up calluses are formed because of excessive stress and pressure. Now, picture someone who's got a high arch. They might be putting more pressure under the ball of the foot to begin with. So a lot of athletes get pedicures. If it's just general callus, then sometimes we'll see that a pedicure where they smooth it down and they maybe smooth your nails out can be extremely helpful for a running jumping athlete, if they've got calluses that are building up in specific areas, most of the NBA are in orthotics, most serious players. But anytime you're in a side-to-side sport like that where you're putting a lot of stress, sheer pressure on the foot, then you're going to build some calluses. And sometimes calluses hurt, and that's when podiatry could trim those calluses down and keep somebody dancing. You know, I might have an athlete who's got corns on the tops of his toes, and we might trim them down painlessly, Rochelle, every few months, and he's comfortable.
Right.
He's comfortable, so that's a big deal. When your feet hurt, you hurt all over.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, as a nurse, you know, doing the ER arena for quite a few years, you know, walking on the concrete floor in the hospital, you know, is not necessarily.
I had half healthy. The nurses in orthotics over the years.
Yeah,
so they're all in devices to, again, which are a big, big help. But that's why you see commercials like for Dr. Scholl's where they're talking about shoe inserts and they're showing the policeman or the fireman jumping around and he's talking about back problems. So many things in the lower extremity are related to our feet. So even though foot problems themselves are paid attention to, the other question is, how is the foot mechanics affecting the rest of the body? Why are Rochelle's knees still hurting her? Is it the mechanics of her feet? We pay attention to that.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, great information because, you know, I know there's a lot of people wondering, like, you know, my son or my child is an athlete or my husband.
Well, here, I got a pearl for you.
He's got calluses.
Yes.
Hold on one second. Let me finish my statement. And he's got, you know, calluses at the bottom of his feet that are now beginning to bother them. What can I do about it? Is it something that they need to go into the podiatrist for? Is that, you know, or is it something that they can do, you know, on their own? Like you said, if you get a pedicure, they can probably sand some of that down and make it a little bit more comfortable. But if it's a little bit more intense, then they can go in, you know, and see a podiatrist who can, you know, further take care of that for them so that they don't have pain in their feet and it doesn't mess up their posture and give them back problems and other, you know, other ailments that they don't necessarily want to have.
Prevention sometimes is a tough sell. But that's one of the things we pay a lot of attention to, Rochelle, is trying to prevent problems and stay out of trouble. And a lot of it also is the whole world of shoes. What's the right shoe to wear? What's the best running shoe for me, et cetera? That's a big deal, and we talk about that a lot.
So what would you say? Because, you know, a lot of times you go, I just recently heard that your feet continue to grow as you age. And so you should get your feet measured every so often, you know, every 6 months periodically to make sure that you're actually buying the right size shoes. What would you say to a person that, you know, I'm going to say they're in between sizes. So, you know, they're not an 8 and they're not an 8.5. But if they get an 8, you know, so they're like, I want to say 8.25. They don't make shoes like that. So would you tell them to get the size, a half a size bigger, where it might slide, their feet might slide around the shoe a little bit?
Oh, you can get something a little. You could put a soft Dr. Scholl's cushion or a pad in. The last thing you want to be in is in something too tight.
Right.
That causes all sorts of problems right off the bat. But then again, every pair of shoes on the shelf is slightly different, slightly. As a rule, your feet don't grow as you get older. What can change is your feet might get a little wider and you might get a longer size, especially, let's say, after pregnancy, where they're already, the body has undergone stretching-type hormonal changes, and we might see that the gal, after she's had children, wow, I'm another size and a half bigger. Other than that, you really, really can depend on the fact that your foot's not going to grow, but it might change. So, yes, I agree with you. You should always get measured because, again, different shoes sometimes, hey, I tried on 3 pairs. They're all size 10. How come they feel different? Good question.
Right. Okay. Yeah, this is good information because, you know, I know you know, particularly us women, you know, we, if you're like me, you like to have a lot of shoes. And, you know, as you said, like before I had kids, I was a size 7. After I had kids, I'm a size 8, and during the process of being pregnant, my foot went from a 7 to a 10 and then back down to an 8. So that's an interesting
concept.
Yeah,
you were all three.
Yeah, I was.
But, you know, the world of women's shoes and high heels is a whole other factor. Women who have any kind of ball of the foot problems, whether it's hammered toes, corns, bunions, the pressure that heels, and we don't mean 3-inch heels, anything from an inch and a half and up, anything an inch and a half heel or higher, Rochelle, changes your posture, puts more pressure on the ball of the foot, puts pressure on your knees. So women who have foot problems usually are padding experts. You know, guys how to put moleskin on and whatever. But you want to pay attention. You don't want to be into it where you're jamming the ball of the foot in the shoe because it causes even more pressure. So when you're talking about dress shoes, you got to have enough room for your toes, and you should not get too crazy with the height of heels because you start really putting pressure on your back and your knees.
Gotcha, yeah.
But women are women, and women wear dress shoes. So.
And, you know, you men, like us, we look good in our heels, so.
Yes.
you know, I love heels. I wear them all the time, and I really.
Yeah, men design them, but they don't have to wear them.
Exactly, because if they did, they wouldn't. Designing shoes that look like that. However, I recently noticed I found some things that I could stick into my shoes that, you know, help take the pressure off the ball of my foot, depending on, you know, the shoes, whether it has a platform, the heel has a platform under the, you know, ball of the foot, or if it's just a straight, you know, no platform, which is a little bit more uncomfortable. So I've found, you know, things to go inside my shoes. And there's also a company that makes a shoe insert that is specifically designed, as you said, for, you know, little heels to big heels, so to speak, specifically designed to align your posture. I never knew that when you had high heels that your posture actually changed and you tend to walk in a more forward tilted manner until I was at some expo or something and they did a thing and it was like, oh, you could see it. And then these people have designed this insert for women to put in their shoes, and it actually recorrects your position so you're not tilted.
Well, anything over the counter, Rochelle, is generic. When we do a lot of orthotics for dress shoes, and mm-hmm. everything else is generic. There are a couple of companies, Superfeet, which makes a great running shoe insole, and I have been putting skates for years, makes a decent girls, ladies dress type device. But many times we see that the same type of prescription that's going into the orthotic for your running, walking, or golf shoes might be the same prescription that's used in a Velcroed-in dress orthotic, but it's a challenge, to say the least, to put anything. But I have dancers who wear a custom insert Velcroed into like 3-inch heels.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you know, we're obviously not going to give up the heels. It's a multi, you know, billion-dollar industry, million-dollar industry. So, you know, if there's a company out there that's, you know, trying to design something that makes wearing those heels that are super sexy and cute to look good in when you're sitting down, more comfortable to be in when you're standing up or walking.
Yes, but you're a fitness person. So my article talks a lot about strengthening the feet and ankles and working your core and having muscles where at least you're paying attention, your Achilles, your calf muscles, uh-huh. can really help in tolerating heels big time. So
yeah.
you can, as cockeyed as it sounds, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, you can train for high heels by taking advantage of some of the things that we talk about. You know, there's a lot of serious women athletes, and they're women, and they're wearing dress shoes. So it changes lots of different things, and it's a whole different category. But it is important to pay attention to, and we can put orthotics in dress shoes, and usually it's helpful.
Yeah. And so you guys out there listening, we're just talking about some information with, you know, Dr. Bob regarding, you know, foot health and, you know, how podiatrists can help you to have healthy feet, some of the things, some of the problems that causes problems with your feet, that can cause problems with your gait and back problems and things of that nature, and how he's worked with, you know, professional athletes and, you know, athletes up and coming, so to speak, to make sure that their feet stay healthy and well so that they can perform the best that they possibly can and not due to something that's going to hold them back because their feet hurt. You know, with regards to the athlete out there, and I want to take the parents out of this because so many parents have their kids touted for things, and it's really the parent trying to live their dream through their children.
About that a lot. Parenting the child athlete is a topic we talk about a lot on the Sports Doctor.
Yeah, I see that a lot. I mean, I've seen it with kids, you know, as young as 10.
Yeah, most parents are wonderful, Rochelle. Well, my experience
is,
but boy, you see them.
Well, wait a minute. Let me say it is a bad thing because I've seen it to where it's really extreme. However, you don't come with – there's not a parenting manual. You just do what you do. But a lot of parents do get wrapped up in trying to live their unfulfilled or unsuccessful dream as an athlete through their children, and I've seen it. Now, I've also been privy to be around some very high-caliber athletes.
I have a great story for you, Rochelle.
There's this one gal who, at the age of 15, tried out for the Olympics. She was a national, held a national record in the triple jump, and she lived down the street from me. And I asked her, with regards to, I'm like, you're jumping, you know, I've known you since you were a little girl. You've been jumping for a long time. How do you keep your feet feeling healthy and well and good and still be able to rock your heels? Now, she's 6'1", but, you know, she still wanted to rock her heels. And you know what she shared with me? She said, I have really good inserts for my shoes, and I make sure I get a foot massage at least once a week.
There you go. Good advice. I would add some rubber band exercises, but I have a great story for you regarding parents and superstars. The young boy I mentioned to you before, Evan Lysacek, who was the Olympic gold medalist in figure skating when he was 10 years old, we first saw him. And I had his mom on the radio after he won the Olympics in 2010 talking exactly about whose goal was it. If people go to my website, Rochelle, they can still find that show. It's March 2010. They go to sportsdoctorradio.com. I asked Evan's mom.
I wanted to say, you know, we'll give you more information about how you can access, Dr. Bob's.
I want to finish my story.
I'm going to let you finish. At the end of the show, okay? So go ahead, Dr. Bob. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure that
We asked... Again, exactly on your topic, Rochelle, I asked his mother, her name Tanya, I said, Tanya, how did you know, as Evan was growing up, that it was his dream, not yours, that you weren't pushing him too far, that you weren't overdoing it? And she said, you know, Dr. Weil, Evan had to get up at 5:30 in the morning for ice time every day. I never had to wake him up. There he was by the garage door with his coat and gloves on, ready to go to the rink. And I just thought that was a fantastic answer for whose goal is it if the kid's got the desire. The old Little League parent, we see it every year, you know, the overzealous, screaming, yelling, ranting, raving parent is definitely a problem. But isn't that a great story talking about what's important?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can attest to that. That's how my youngest son was when it came to playing basketball. I mean, he would, you know, he played for his schools, and then he played on an AAU team, and then he played on a traveling team. And he would have all these basketball practices, and he would still come home for practice. Of course, he was an honor student and a straight-A student, but he would still come home from going to basketball practice all day long, and then we lived in a lake community. He would take the basketball and dribble around the lake, you know,
and
all the practices he had. It was not something he was had to be told to do. He just did it. Or when it was an early game, like, you know, that kid, Evan, they're up and ready to go. It's something that they want to do. And so
it's not for everybody.
It's not
for everybody. I've had sports psychology on my show numerous times. And the late Dr. Jim Vickery, who taught at the U.S. Sports Academy in Alabama, used to have a few suggestions for moms and dads who have serious kids. And he'd say, number one, don't be a critic. if you don't have anything good to say, don't necessarily say it. Number two, he'd say, be a good listener. If your son or daughter's overdoing it, or if they're hurting and they feel pressure to play. And number three, he said, be comfortable to talk to the coach if you have a question or concern regarding what's going on. And we always thought that was very, very good advice because, again, epidemic of overuse injuries are very, very rampant. You say you have three boys. How was, did they have problems with injuries playing sports growing up?
No.
Well, you're a lucky woman.
Well, I'm an emergency room trauma nurse background.
Ah,
so,
right.
Yeah. And,
so
you know,
paid attention.
You're right. And I was an athlete myself. And then their dad was an athlete. And, you know, and I've lived a holistic and practiced holistic medicine for a very, very long time. So no, they didn't have any, overuse syndrome at, injuries, as well as my daughter, who's the youngest. She was a competitive dancer, and she danced for 15 years, and she never sustained an injury.
Wow, that's a great history. That's a whole other area.
Yeah.
You know, but it is, you know, I call it the prodigy sports, Rochelle. Again, the prodigy sports, dancing is one of them, where this is what they do, and they do it every day. Mm-hmm. Dance medicine. One of my associates coming on a month from now on my show, that's what we're going to be talking about. He treats all these ballerinas. And, you know, dancers are some of the best athletes in the world.
Right. They are. You know, you know, it goes along with – I just think the body is such a beautiful thing. And
yes,
there's so many processes that
was
go on.
Was she ballet, your daughter?
She did ballet. She's really tall. So she did ballet, she did jazz, she did hip hop, and she did tap.
I love it when it's mixed. I love it being mixed. So they're doing different things at different times. But sometimes with ballerinas, it's a tough sell.
Yeah, it is. And you know, their feet take a brutal. Now I have a niece who was just, you know, all she did was ballet. And so, you know, I was always helping her to help her feet feel better because, you know, being on point and things of that nature, the alignment and structure of the feet are, you know, we're not made to be on point. You know what
I'm
saying?
No, you're not. Matter of fact, when you're looking at the stress of the body, for example, every step we take when we land on our heel, we're generating about 50% of our weight. If we start jogging or running, we might double or triple that. A figure skater who's doing a triple or quadruple jump might hit the ice with 7-8 times their weight. Mm-hmm. A ballerina on point is putting about a half a dozen times weight stress up that foot. It's a remarkable physical feat, being on point. And we try to tell parents, you know, boy, until that foot stops growing, you know, don't start too early. But
right,
it's a lot of stress through that foot.
Yeah, yeah. But they are very beautiful to watch. Okay, so I want to kind of ask you, you know, with the problem that we're having here in America, and I've been a healthcare professional for over 26 years, I see this problem. When I was a kid, it was very, very rare. And I want to say, even when my kids were kids, it was rare. But now it's so prevalent, you see it more often than you see the norm. And that is childhood or pediatric obesity.
Yes, it's one of my specialties,
Joe. As well as obesity in just, you know, just, I'm just going to say obesity in America, from the kids to the, you know, from the young ones to the old ones, it's a huge problem. And you now see more obese people than you see actually fit people. And so can you just share with the listeners some insight as to how taxing that is to be overweight like that, what we're seeing now, the epidemic in America to our feet, you know, our joints, our bones. Can you just share a little insight on that?
Yes. We've been talking childhood obesity on the Sports Doctor truly over 10 years. And I'm going to give you the answer when it comes to prevention. But both physically, overweight children, even after the age of 2 or 3, excessive weight puts excessive stress on the joints of the feet and ankles and the legs. And the obesity epidemic I think we really have to look at the food industry. You know, they sold us on low fat, no fat, whatever. And the culprit, of course, ends up being sugar, sugar, and more sugar, and lack of exercise. Mm-hmm. But the child who grows up with obesity concerns, one of the nightmares is early cardiovascular problems, early diabetes, where we never saw childhood diabetes. Now we see it. Where we've got that kind of concern, and actually financially it will break us if we don't somehow overcome the fact of what it takes, let alone for an adult who's got lifelong hypertension and high blood pressure and other kinds of problems in that regard. Now, one of the challenges, of course, is we've seen between cell phones and video games and all of these things, we all know what it's done to a lot of childhood participation. And sports are not fitness. Being on a team is great, but it's one kid out of 10, one kid out of 50 who's on teams. What about all these other kids? It will surprise a lot of people that 50% of bullying, Rochelle, is weight-related. So there's a whole other segment of problems. Now, I've got a colleague, Rick Osborne. He's been on my show numerous times. Rick is the creator of what's called Pull Your Own Weight. And in English, it means that if a child could learn how to do an unassisted pull-up, and maybe one kid out of 15 could do it, they're not strong enough. If they could do a pull-up, they can't be obese no matter how you measure it, whether it's BMI or whatever. So the ability to just picture a swing set that's got handles thrown over the top. Mm-hmm. And the fact that a young first grader or second grader, and the handles are about ear height, and these kids would jump and pull at the same time, maybe eight times twice a week, nine times twice a week. And after about 12th session, they'd move the straps up an inch so that a 8 or 10-year-old might take her 6 months. But once she's also being exposed to other things, so the responsibility of parents when it comes to nutrition, we talk a lot of nutrition. I know you do also. We know what a challenge that is. So there's a huge mental component with a child who grows up. I had a guest on my show 2 years ago. Michael Buchanan wrote the book Fat Boy Chronicles, mm-hmm. and he also produced the movie. You could still get it on Netflix. And it's about a young boy growing up being heavy.
Right.
And what he goes through and all of these other things. But again, the medical side, whether it's like you mentioned, the joints, problems with one of the ironies is let's say we need the kid to be more active to help with their weight control, but their feet hurt and their legs hurt because they're already heavy. So
right.
Sometimes it's a challenge, but the main culprit here really, again, is the same too. It's the diet. Soda is a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, we all bought into, I think we all knew, Rochelle, we knew junk food was what it is, and we all knew that side of it. I think a lot of people were surprised that, Jesus, the American diet is hell.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's horrible.
And they keep selling us. We got sold a bunch of goods, and you're right. You know,
they're still selling. They're still selling.
The fast foods, the processed foods.
Isn't the best commercial in the world Coca-Cola or Pepsi? You know, they have great commercials, great music. Who knew how much sugar is in a bottle of Coke?
I wasn't a child that liked soda. First of all, we didn't get that much of it. And second of all, I didn't like it and I didn't grow. I mean, I had some challenges. So I just didn't like it and I didn't, you know, I didn't, it's really funny. I didn't give it to my kids. Now their dad drank Coke all the time. He did. But my kids didn't grow up being real soda drinkers until this day. They don't. One child prefers to drink water and milk. And
yes, I think, you know, we all do the best we can.
But I think, you know, it's just people becoming aware of the tendencies that that they do, because the child learns from the adult, the parent, and making some changes. But here's the thing. A lot of parents don't even realize that they need to make changes. They don't.
Well, that's why the kids, we need the kids to teach them. Now that we're exposing more and more children, there are health classes. You know, one of the challenges is keeping physical education in the schools. You know, they backed off that 20 years ago. I think they meant well, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic. I don't think we realized, holy cow, we've got to include activity as part of a kid's education. Because, again, not everybody makes the team. You know, in high school, most of these kids, they're not involved. So now, today, hopefully the kids are teaching the parents, hey, let's go for a walk. I wrote a series of articles, and the title was called Let's Get Them Walking. And it really is about getting the schools to include routinely, half hour a day, your day starts with a walk, inside or out, if you're physically able to. And over a generation, if you did that, we would probably wipe out obesity, that and something like pull your own weight. Because, again...
Yeah, I mean, totally got to be a lot of changes made. We had food. We had fast food when I was growing up. We had sodas when I was growing up. We had candy, which was way cheaper, way cheaper than it is today, you know, when I was growing up. But the thing that we didn't have was video games that kept us in the house. My deal was as soon as I could go outside and play, we were outside playing until we actually had to be called in the house. You know, streetlights came on, you came in the house. Parents called you, you came in the house. Now,
but it's a different world.
Different world
today.
Don't go outside. And so if you don't go outside and you're sitting in front of a TV playing video games all day, yeah, your thumbs and forefingers may be getting a ton of exercise, but it does nothing for you. And I see a lot of parents, they're so quick to give their kid a video game to babysit them versus saying, why don't you go in the backyard and play? If you're scared to send your kids out in the front yard, send them in the backyard or take them to a park or do something, but engage your children in physical activity outside of the house versus giving them a video game to babysit and keep them out of your hair. And you know, of course, again, in school, you now in high school, I don't think you have to take PE anymore after your freshman year. When I was in high school, we had PE all 4 years.
Yes, you know? Well, I think we're fighting back now. I think you are seeing a huge realization that, number one, if we're going to make a difference, it's got to be in the schools where there's 100 million kids and you've got the whole population is able to be exposed to this kind of situation where you can have as part of the curriculum routinely, and it's not playing dodgeball or running around playing volleyball. You need that kind of aerobic, and walking is a very, very easy way to do it. You can have dance classes or whatever. So I think it's got to be in the schools. It also has to be a whole different type of education, and it's a big challenge because, again, you have the most sophisticated advertising in the world in so many different areas. You have latchkey families where the kids are on their own a lot, and you have the phenomenon of, again, of cell phones. Who the heck knew what that was about?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So,
you watch 50 kids at the park. They're all looking at their phone.
Right, and they could be, and they'll be texting each other.
Yes.
And they're sitting right next to you. It's like, oh my goodness, what have we come to? But anyways, I'm digressing. I'm so sorry. So okay, now I want to get back to we've been talking to Gamut about, you know, foot health and health of our feet, and you know what you do and what you share on your show. With regards to, and we talked about childhood obesity and just obesity in general and just getting us as a society out there moving, when I decide if I'm a person, whether I'm overweight, underweight, or just want to get physically fit, when I decide to step out and take that next step to go out and do something where I need shoes for whatever fitness activity I'm doing, how should one go about looking and selecting shoes for fitness?
Good question. I think today you could walk into any qualified running shoe store and really get education and proper fit. and an analysis of what's the best shoe for you. You know, I had a friend who wrote a book, The Best Shoe. I'm paraphrasing the title, probably 25, 20 years ago, and the front cover was a picture of 40 shoes. There is no best shoe, but there's a lot of great brands. So if you're looking at Nike, New Balance, Adidas, Asics, top brands, and you're getting fit properly, and then we'll be able to say to you, well, you know, I want a good tennis shoe. Running shoes are made for one foot in front of the other, as are walking shoes. So if you're going to go on a tennis court or you're running around in the field, you want to be in something called a cross trainer, which is made for side-to-side activity.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, again, if you go into a running shoe store, they will be able to let you know, Rochelle, you're a pronator. Your feet flatten out. You know, Steve, you've got high arches. So you need a motion control shoe, and you might need a stability shoe. And then you will have also, again, if you're doing a specific sport, let's say you're a golfer, then you're looking at golf shoes. If we see you're a tennis player, looking at tennis shoes. And again, here's a just in general, if you have a history of any kind of problem with your feet or ankles, then seeing podiatry can really point you in the right direction, start you off on the right foot, pardon the pun, so that you would be able to, whether it's you or your kids, that they're in the shoe that's best for them. It's an amazing statistic. But even today, about 75% of athletes, regardless of level, are not fit properly, which is amazing.
I believe that. Which is amazing.
When I first saw John McEnroe in 1981, I hate to date myself, in 86, he was one of the first guys who was sponsored with his Nike shoes and whatever. As they started getting into, like, you watch a team and they've got the same shoes, same color shoes, which is great unless that brand is not comfortable for you.
Right.
So, like you said, we would have go to a good running shoe store, walking shoe store, find out what's the best type of shoe for you, try on some brands. Usually, getting fit for shoes at the end of the day, because sometimes our feet do swell slightly, show up with the kind of socks that you normally wear. And also, if you buy the shoes, wear them around the house for a couple days. We've all been fooled. I've been fooled. You know, we bought the shoes. Hey, these feel pretty good. You know, 3 days later, I'm saying, you know, they're too snug.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I looked in the mirror. I said, hey, sports podiatrist, you got the wrong size.
Right.
Right.
Gotcha. Thank you for sharing that, because I think that's some really good information, nuggets of gold for people out there listening to really pay more attention to. If you're going in to buy shoes for a specific type of fitness, you definitely want to get properly fitted. And that segues perfectly into what you were saying with regards to the proper shoe, because I want to mention an athlete that is just, I tell everyone, he's my son from another mother, which is Stephen Curry. And me, of course, being in the Bay Area, you know, I am I'm a sports fan to begin with, but I'm definitely a
Bay Area. What a story this kid is.
Yes. So, you know, he had a lot of problems when he came into the profession, to the NBA, with his ankles. And
he injured it again 2 months ago.
Yeah. However, now it seems like he's got a sponsor, shoe sponsor, Under Armour, which has designed a shoe that has really helped him to keep, you know, stability in the weakness of his ankles or whatever's going on in that arena.
He's got prescription devices. Again,
I'm sure he does too. I mean, you know,
that's the key. Designing a shoe with your picture on it, even though these guys are pretty sophisticated, to say the least. But I'm sure, like with the Warriors, they've got a team podiatrist, they've got the trainer, and I'm sure if you ever see him, he always does it, he's famous for it, he walks around with his mouth guard chewing on it. And here's an analogy. The mouth guard, in many instances, has the same job as the orthotics in his shoes. Put the joints of his jaw and put the joints of his feet and ankles in their best position. He's been phenomenal. This is what a crazy, talk about home field advantage. What a crazy finals it's been.
Yeah, it's been great. And as you know, sports aficionados, we always
you
got
to ask him that and let me know. You got to let me know. I'll bet you he's in prescription orthotics.
I will.
Absolutely.
You know, I will one day get close enough. I met him when he was a rookie. We had season tickets, and so I met him when he was a rookie, and they had this little up close and personal, you know, informal segment with very intimate with him, and he was just an adorable young man then, and he still is that today. And then one day I was in
line. It's amazing. People didn't know he came out of Davidson. He was a great college player.
Yes.
But everybody, all these pundits felt this kid ain't strong enough. He's not,
well,
guy, you know, who knows?
Guy.
Yes.
Yeah, he was little. He said he didn't grow, and he was like 5'7" until I think, you know, his second year in college, and then he grew. But, you know, he was a little guy. So, you know, little guys sometimes get overlooked, and they have tenacity to boot, some of them. And, you know, as we have seen, Spud Webb, you know, 5'7", slam dunk champion, played for the Atlanta Hawks.
I remember him well.
Bogues, and you know, there's a bunch of little guys that just have tenacity, so you can't always count them out. However, with Stephen Curry, just basically what I'm just trying to share, I guess, is the information about getting things properly aligned in his feet and his ankles, which a lot of people don't realize that the ankle is something that the podiatrist handles, not the orthopedist or the.
Well, both do. Absolutely.
Yeah, they do,
but
nowadays, you know, they really prefer to orthopedic, because I've worked with a ton of them, prefer to send feet and ankle, definitely ankle, I'd say ankle below to the podiatrist, because they feel they're a bit more better expert than they are in the arena of taking care of the bones.
Yeah, it's great to hear, too. It was always a contest on that regard. And of course then Steph Curry also sprained his knee with that crazy incident.
Right.
So it becomes even more. So far he looks great physically, and you know, that's a worry. You know, let's see, you know, he was nursing an ankle injury for about 2 months, month and a half. All of a sudden he sprains his knee. Now we went through this with Derek. Of course Derek Rose was knee surgery, and I had the team physician on, Dr. Brian Cole. We talked about some of that, the nightmare coming back from, you know, one problem, then it's another problem, then it's another problem. And we all know the pressure that Steph Curry was under. It was the starting of the playoffs.
Right.
Huge pressure. So he's really been something.
Yeah, he has been. Okay, so now I think probably if I'm, you know, thinking last question I might have that you can enlighten the listeners on are, you know, we talked about some of the common foot problems such as bunions and calluses and corns and, you know, hammer toes, and ways that we can treat them and prevent them. But if you had words of wisdom to share with people out there with regards to the health of their feet, and, you know, maybe prevention, things they can do that they wouldn't get anywhere else but from you, what would you say?
Again, I'd say include podiatry on your team, because whether it's fungus of the toenails, whether it's joint problems, whether it's choosing a shoe, whether it's knowing what effect it might have on the rest of the body, just the idea of including a general doctor as a rule has a hard time figuring out how many toes there are on a foot, like you know. So including that aspect of paying attention to your physical activity makes an awful lot of sense, especially if you've had a history of problems. So you want to include, that would be the pearl, which is like you see a dentist, like you see an eye doctor, I would see a foot doctor, podiatry, add it to the mix when it comes to, regardless of your activity, even when we're talking fitness and health, it's all related. Today, still, ankle injuries are the most common sports injury, or it's the most common joint injured, whether you're an athlete or not, and the ankle is a very complicated joint. So I wouldn't underestimate ankle problems. Pay attention.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that information. Now, let's get to the good stuff. You mentioned you have your show, and you have, you know, a ton of information with regards to articles and things of that nature on your show. Can you share with the listeners a little bit more about what they could find if, by tuning into your show?
Okay. Again, the name of my show is The Sports Doctor. People could read all about me. They could listen to many past shows. They can read many of the different articles and all sorts of topics. If they go to the website, which written out is sportsdoctorradio.com, you could see who are the, were the guests, what were the topics, what was the subject matter, and then you could decide to listen to a show going back for years in that regard. They can listen into that or read about whatever particular article they would like. My show is on live every Wednesday at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. Again, it's called The Sports Doctor. The network is Healthy Life Radio. They're a very popular all-positive talk radio. Isn't that wonderful? A title like all-positive talk radio?
Yeah.
So I've been with them about 2.5 years. And I'm also, I get a lot of guests and a lot of information on Twitter. We have over 20,000 followers, people all over the world in all aspects of health and wellness. And you could follow me on Twitter at SportsDoc, D-O-C Radio. And it's been a pleasure, Rochelle. You're a great host. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Dr. Bob, do you still currently have a practice?
I do.
Okay.
People could find out all that information on the website. I am in Aurora, Naperville, Illinois. Even though I'm a New Yorker and I practice my New York accent at least once a week, Rochelle, I've been in Chicago for a long time, and that's where I broadcast. Even though Healthy Life Radio is Manhattan Beach, California, like you, I'm on the phone with guests from wherever they are. I'm in the Chicago area.
Okay. I've been to Naperville. I've been all through Illinois.
Yes, Naperville is it's where I'm at.
In Naperville, I've been there. I think I actually stayed the night there. I've been to Aurora. I've been to Bloomington Normal. Chicago.
I think, and again, maybe you'll join me in the future on the Sports
Maybe
Doctor,
so.
Because, again, I have emergency room physicians on. We talk about that topic, and we sure talk about holistic Ayurvedic medicine. I'm a big fan of that. We have a lot of the mental side, so maybe we'll connect and I'll turn the tables on you. Although my interviews are a lot shorter, maybe 20 minutes, maybe 8-minute segments, I'll return the favor.
Thank you. Well, listen,
you're welcome.
There you have it, Dr. Bob. We want to thank Dr. Bob Weil for being a guest on the Blissful Living Show. And as always, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to listening to us today. Now, you can find out more information about Dr. Bob on sportsdoctorradio.com, and doctor is spelled out. So, again, sportsdoctorradio.com. And until next week, as always, I'm wishing you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit. Thank you to the sponsors, the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company, and All Day Cable Incorporated. And thank you to you for tuning in and listening to us. Have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you soon. This is the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, saying goodbye for now.